Hello everyone, and welcome to the Sounds of Shelley's World. This is going to be a podcast of interviews recorded at the Johnny and Friends 2013 Family Retreat in Rockaway Beach, Oregon. Normally I start a podcast within a few days of actually having the experience. But when I got home, I had absolutely no motivation to work on editing and putting together the interviews. So I set it aside, and every so often it would pop into my brain that people are waiting to hear them and I should get this done, but I just never really wanted to. Now I think that was God directing me. Most of you know that my guide dog Flora is being retired and returned to the guide dog school. So it's a really rough time right now, and in the middle of one of my really sad periods, it popped into my brain that now was the time to work on the interviews. And working on them, hearing what people shared, and just remembering the people I met, and the things that I was thinking about and learning about has brought some peace to me. And so now I know why I waited. But I am sorry for those of you who've been waiting to hear it, that it took so long. So I will stop rambling now and get on with the interviews. This podcast is about 40 minutes long. Okay, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell me whatever you want to tell me about yourself.
I am Janet Christian. I'm the Director of Children's Ministries at First Presbyterian Church in Jacksonville. I've been there for 20 years, and I administer from nursery to sixth grade. And if it has to do with kids, I am neck deep in it. So that's what I do.
And what are you doing here at Johnny and Friends?
I was the puppeteer, and so I got to talk with the kids this morning about proper puppet etiquette, where we learned where puppets don't fight and puppets don't bite, and how they can have different voices and how they can represent animals or people. And then I came and shared at the 7 o'clock chapel with my three puppets, John, Mayer, Max, and Zoe. Max is a Salvation Dalmatian, and John Bear is a very confused bear, and then Zoe is just a self-absorbed buzzard. So yes, and they have hidden hearts that we pull out and see why they're acting naughty, and we pull out the brokenness or the bad attitude, and we replace it with scripture. And so the kids can see that just about any challenge that they have or attitude that they have can be handled through God's word.
Yeah, I thought that was really neat. I like the application.
Thank you. Yeah, it's very hands-on. You know, it's tangible. Kids are very concrete, and so when we can give them examples, it's just a great thing.
So I'm just curious, did you develop the characters before you found the puppets or after?
No, you know, when I met them, people buy me puppets all the time, but I don't use them, I just collect them. Because it seems like the puppets are really a reflection of different parts of me, because I get confused about stuff, and that's John Bear, and I get self-absorbed, and that's Zoe. And it's been a delight and an honor to be at Johnny and Friends, and I just think everybody should experience this and be as supportive as possible.
Okay, introduce yourselves, I should say. Tell me a little bit of whatever you want to tell me about yourself.
Well, I'm Lisa Leinberger, and I am from Central Point, Oregon. This is my first time to camp, and I'm here with my son, Connor.
Well, I'm Connor Stucker.
And how old are you?
11 years old.
Cool. So, you guys are first-time campers, as you said. What do you guys think of the camp?
This morning I said that this was, like, the best week of my life.
Really? Why is it the best week of your life?
Because just, like, everybody here is nice. I have not met a single person here at all.
That's true.
Everybody's accepting of everybody's differences.
Yes.
That we believe that we have seen real angels on earth here this week in some of the things that we've been able to witness, especially myself.
In what ways?
Just in that kids can be themselves and not have to, that anybody, adults and kids alike, can be themselves and not have to have any restrictions. The first day we got here, Connor said to me, "Mom, this is the only place I've never even had to hold in my gut. I could just be me." And that's when, from the minute we pulled into the grounds, I saw a change in my son that I've never, never in his 11 years seen. I saw just a freedom of spirit that was just changing for me.
How cool. Okay, so is there anything else you want to say?
You know, I just want to say that I hope we get to come back and experience it again. This has just been a blessing for us. Thank you.
Okay, I'm Scott Hunter, and this is my wife, Sam.
Yep.
And we have three kids. Sebastian is 16. Trinity, our daughter, is 13, and our youngest son, Brighton, is 10. And Brighton is our child with special needs. He has cerebral palsy, which in his case means that he's non-ambulatory.
Good job.
The proper way to say it, yeah.
He's in a wheelchair?
He's in a wheelchair. So he doesn't walk without assistance. He's developmentally behind quite a bit, and he has mild to severe hearing loss, and a lot of the typical issues with cerebral palsy, very high muscle tone, which means he's really strong, and those are kind of the big ones.
So what brought you guys to camp?
Well, we have friends who've gone to a Johnny and Friends camp. This is their eighth year going.
That's right.
You know, four here and four in California, and they have always been begging us to come. So we tried last year to go on a typical family vacation. You know, we went to Whistler, Canada, and stayed in a hotel, and it was not much fun because there's so many things we couldn't do with Brighton, and, you know, a child in a wheelchair, a child who, you know, needs to use a special potty. You can't just go out and, you know, go in a public restroom. And so we felt really limited not being able to go do all the fun things that you can do in Whistler. And we just kind of came home and realized that we couldn't really do typical family vacations with him.
Yeah.
But this is something we can do, this camp.
It's not that our time in Whistler was super bad, but it just was... Well, for one, Whistler just really isn't oriented toward wheelchair access.
No.
It's pretty, I mean, I don't, maybe
it's
a Canadian thing.
And, no, it's Whistler. Hiking and mountain biking and, you know, all this.
Bunch of stuff that we just can't do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, we still had fun, but there was just so much we couldn't do, and we could only be out for a couple hours at a time, and it just ended up not being a great vacation for anyone.
Yeah.
So, you know, we thought, you know, maybe we should try family camp, and it would be special for Brighton because we know he'll get an STM, somebody who's one-on-one with him the whole time, and we'll get some time to hang out with other people and to go do activities and, you know, to see how it works out.
So has it been a good experience?
Yeah,
so far,
I think we're
yeah.
still trying to figure it out because we're still sitting here going, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Because Brighton's off and our other two kids are off with whoever, and we're like, oh.
we don't even know where they're all at right now.
I don't know where they're all at.
But they're all with an adult.
They're all with somebody, yeah.
Somebody.
We'll see them at 4 or something like that.
Yeah.
I guess. Dinner time.
Hopefully, I don't know.
But yeah, we've met a lot of nice people, and I think we just need to do a better job of getting out and enjoying the outdoors and stuff. We need to go play some miniature golf and go on the extreme swing.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Okay, anything else you want to say as we're wrapping this up?
It's been an eye-opening experience for us just to be here and to listen to other stories and experiences and to see especially so many people serving. It's amazing how much volunteer effort goes into how many people it takes to give a bunch of other people kind of the week off.
Yeah.
it's a real blessing. And we're still going to have to deal with, you know, in a couple of days when camp's over, getting back to normal life. And school starting up pretty soon. It's been a real blessing to be here.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm interviewing a pastor. Prepare for a long interview.
Hi, I'm Dale Metter, and I hail from Medford, Oregon, known to some as Mudford, Oregon. And I'm here at the Johnny and Friends Twin Rocks Family Retreat near Rockaway Beach, Oregon. I just want to say that it's great to be here, and I'm here because my daughter grew up thinking that's a walkie-talkie. I'm here because my daughter grew up with Johnny as one of her heroes and wanted very early to go to camp, and so drug her mother to camp early on, but then one year could not go, so I came, and I was terrified, but I stayed, and it was really wonderful, and the Lord changed my heart, and now it's hard to keep me away.
Why were you terrified?
I was terrified because I had a bad experience with disability in high school. In high school, I volunteered to work with, so this is way back in the late 1800s, disability in mainstream disability in schools was a pretty unusual thing, and they weren't really set up, but they looked for volunteers. I volunteered, and they stuck me in a room with a nonverbal kid with cerebral palsy and told me to teach him to use a talking machine. And they didn't give me any training, and I didn't really know what to do, and I didn't know what to say, and of course he couldn't speak, and so it was very awkward and very uncomfortable for me. And of course now, putting myself in his shoes, I realized that had to be even worse for him. Mm-hmm. So it was just very awkward, long hours in this little room, and my friend went on to die very prematurely, and I just felt terrible about the whole thing because I wasn't any help to him and didn't know what to do. So for years, even though I was a pastor, I was very happy to keep disability at arm's length and think, well, it's fine for you guys to go do it. This is your gift to my wife and daughter. You guys go do this. But the year came when, because of Nancy's surgery, she couldn't come, so I had to go. And I pretended to like it, and I got to camp, and I was terrified. And the night before the campers arrived, I actually conspired with another dad, who was also very nervous, as to how we could get out of it.
Like,
to what degree would we have to be injured to be excused?
Oh, gosh.
Could we be excused if we had only sprained something, or were we required to break a bone before we could really leave? And we also imagined pushing our cars out of the camp in the middle of the night without the engines running and escaping in this way. But thank the Lord we stayed, and the Lord changed my heart over the period of that week. I had a wonderful young camper, a 21-year-old young man with Downs and numerous medical complications as a result. And he had one speed, and it was slow. And that suited me just fine. It was a good introduction for me. And over the period of that week, I realized that people with disability need churches, but more importantly, churches needed people with disabilities. And so I went back to my church and outlined a vision for disability ministry that other people, bless their hearts, have carried out. I just had the enthusiasm. They had the actual, they put all the practical time and effort into it. People like Dennis and Tracy Davis and Faye Harp and people like that, Tom and Debbie Eastwold. And so now we have a pretty good disability ministry. Most of our people realize that disability ministry means more than ramps and grab rails. It means actually having people who are ready to warmly welcome and be friends with people with disability and become part of their lives, just as you would anybody else who wants to become part of a family.
Have you seen God do anything like amazing this week or at another camp that you'd like to share about?
Yes, at every camp I see the same thing. I see things like families who come and they're really amazed that there are other people who would use a week of their own vacation and much of their own money so that her family or his family could come and have a break.
Someone just said that. One of the people I interviewed was just talking about how amazing it was.
We get that a lot, you know, and it is pretty special when these people will come and they'll work and devote all their effort and attention to our campers or our campers' children so that the parents, for example, can have a break or something. I see that all the time. I've heard that already. I see this in my STMs. We have these debriefing sessions each evening, and it's really precious to hear the STMs stand and talk about how, just like I was my first time, they were very nervous, and you know, then over time they grow comfortable with their campers. And Jonathan Whittle actually did share during the STM training, he has a little sister who's a very precious young lady with Rett syndrome. She's nonverbal, probably always will be. She displays many of the symptoms of autism, although I'm not sure if they're related or not at all. But Jonathan spoke very eloquently, as I have heard him before, of what it's like to be the sibling of a person with a disability. I think siblings, in my experience, what I've read, seen, experienced, siblings of persons with disabilities often become very bitter and angry toward God and even hold their own beloved sibling at arm's length. Or they grow up to be very sensitive, open-hearted, and softer toward persons with disabilities. And, of course, hanging out with the Johnny and Friends family, I see more of the latter than the former.
Yeah. Okay, anything else you'd like to say to wrap this up?
Yes, I'd just like to talk about the importance of flossing every night. Gum periodontal health is just gigantic. You avoid lots of infections and stuff, so do floss.
The microphone is going away.
The best floss at Costco. It's the minty flavor. It really smells good. Okay, so thank you very much for coming. Thank you for interviewing me, Shelley, and thank you for not smoking.
So I have been eating dinner with a really cool young person. Go ahead and introduce yourself and tell a little bit about yourself.
Hi, my name's Hope McBride, and I'm 14, and what do I say?
Whatever you want the internet world to know about you.
Okay, well, I'm part of a family of eight. I've been homeschooled all my life. I have five siblings, two younger brothers, one older brother, and two older sisters, and we're happy, I don't know. We've done a lot of activities together. We've raised guide dog puppies, and we participate in a national speech and debate league.
Do all kinds of things.
Yeah. We've moved around a lot. As I said before, I'm 14, and I've already moved about 12 times. So
because they're in the Navy.
Yes, my dad's in the Navy, so
and they
actually
right now are living about a half hour from me.
Yeah, so we live in Bremerton, cool. Washington right now, across the water from Seattle. It's a lot of fun.
So how did you end up here at Johnny Camp, and what are you doing here?
Well, I'm a short-term missionary, or STM, here, and I'm buddied up with a person for the week, and I take them around and do a lot of activities with them and keep them company for the whole week and just be the special little buddy and have fun with them the whole week. And I heard about this, well, my family's been a fan of Johnny Erickson Tata for a long time, and just recently one of our friends was telling us about the Johnny Camps, and my mom thought that was just the coolest thing ever, and so she signed my sister and I up, and here I am.
So you didn't really get a choice, but you're here.
Well, not really, but I'm glad I came.
So your buddy is a little girl, a five-year-old. Are you in the children's program or in the nursery?
I am, yes.
Oh, cool. So what kinds of things have you seen God do in the children's or anywhere at camp?
Well, it's really cool because actually last night, several of my friends, other STMs I'm working with, were telling about how their kids just doing the littlest things. Like, one of them said that her buddy was eating meals was a big thing for them. She didn't really eat much, and so they were at breakfast, and it turned out that her camper ate two whole meals, and her mom was just standing there crying, like STM said, because she was amazed at how much she ate and was just so excited by that. And then another STM was saying how he was talking with his STM, his buddy, and how they were talking together and just having water, it turns out, because it was a hot afternoon yesterday. And so they were just drinking water, and the STM happened to look over, and the parents were standing there with their mouths wide open. And the STM was a little bit confused, but it turns out that his buddy never drank water from a glass. He had to use like a sippy cup or something. And so the parents were just amazed to see him being so happy and normal, drinking a cup, and they were just so happy. And it's just so cool to see how all these people who, you know, are almost shunned by society are so embraced here and just loved. And it's just so cool to see how happy they are and how much they like it, you know?
Yeah. It's an awesome place.
It definitely is.
I'm sitting here with the camp pastor for the week. You want to introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Randy Young, and I am a counselor. I run Living Water Counseling Ministry out of Trinity Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Medford, Oregon. And let's see, what else? I have my wonderful wife, Annette, who homeschools our two daughters, Catherine, who is 17, and Erin, who is almost 16. And they're at home. They're not here. They're at home. Catherine's working, and Erin is preparing for speech and debate tournaments coming up this year.
Cool. So I already mentioned you're the camp pastor. What are you teaching on this week? I already know, but for the listeners who don't know, I have been paying attention.
Oh, good.
For the most part, I was dozing off today, so after the sermon, I went and took a nap. I was so tired.
Well, you know, I'm getting kind of tired myself. I understand there's an awful lot of activity here.
Yeah.
And it can be wearing, but I'm having a blast. And I'm really enjoying watching everybody else have a great time. I'm seeing a lot of changes, and it appears to me like changes, growth in people who were very timid at the beginning of the week, and now they're stepping out of themselves, it seems. I'm teaching on Philippians chapter 3, and I've taught through the whole chapter. Certainly, the central theme of the camp is pressing on to the goal set before us, the high calling that's set before us in verse 14. The first sermon or teaching was from verses 1 through 11, in which Paul describes the struggle between the old and the new. He's cautioning the Philippians to watch out for the people who would try to drag them back into their tradition of Judaism, the ceremonial law that Paul is very clear is completed in Christ. So the need for the ceremonial law, which was originally designed to point to Christ, is no longer needed because it's been fulfilled in Jesus Christ.
Right.
So, but people who lived under that have a really hard time saying, we're not supposed to do those things anymore. And so I made a connection, or I see a connection, in terms of application to us, because we don't live in ancient Israel. And for us as Christians, we tend to get dragged back to the old way of doing things. We tend to fall back on the old coping mechanisms, the old patterns that we used to have, that we grew up with, that were there before, perhaps before I was even thinking about Jesus, or before I understood what the gospel is. And so we find ways to avoid dealing with pain, dealing with shame, dealing with doubt and fears. And so we use different ways to try to avoid those. And we grow up learning specific skills and tools that we put in our own toolbox, and we use those to deal with the things we don't want to face. But when we use those, we're not following Christ. And it's my thesis that when Paul and others in Scripture are talking about the old man, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about the ways that we used to do things. And everybody has a different old man, the former ways. And we all have idols. And those idols are the things that we use to deal with the difficulties that we struggle with today when we don't want to face them. And so the first section, or the first message, was talking about identifying what those old idols are, what is the old man, and recognizing, and I think it's very important, I think a lot of Christians don't do this. We have to look at what the old way was in order to turn away from it. It's sneaky. It'll come up and grab us when we're not paying attention to it. So we have to identify what the old patterns are and where they came from so we can set them aside and move forward by following Christ. But if we pretend we didn't have them, if we ignore them, if we think that disposing of those things means acting as if they never were, then we're not getting the sanctification we need that goes deep down into our hearts. Sanctification isn't just changing behavior, it's changing our hearts. And our hearts are profoundly shaped by what we used to live in. The second one was verses 12 through 16, which has, of course, 14 right in the middle of it. And 14 is the passage that is the theme of pressing on. And so that's that discussion, or actually it's more of a lecture because the congregation doesn't talk back a lot. But that one is focusing on the more of how are we living today? What is it that's going on in your life now, each individual, each person who's here? What's going on in my life now that I'm dealing with the old way, the way that I grew up learning, the way of the old man, and transitioning from, okay, I'm not to follow the old man, I'm to follow Christ. And in following Christ, once I've identified what the old man is telling me to do, I can transform those thoughts by bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to bear on them. The gospel is that I am a broken sinner, I'm a mess, I deserve eternal punishment because I've rebelled against God completely. But God, graciously, He is a loving God, and He doesn't want to punish me for my sin. So He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to take the punishment that I deserve upon Himself. And then He gives me His perfection and righteousness. Well, and therefore I can have a good, healthy relationship with God. Well, that being the gospel, that supersedes all of the old man's way of doing things. And if I take that gospel and I apply it today to the decisions I have to make about difficult, scary, shameful, hard things, painful things, also things that would seem like they would be pleasurable and good, but they're not right. If I apply the gospel to these things, oops, there went a tub of toys or something. So if I apply the gospel to these things today as the means by which we can overcome the old man, we need to apply the gospel to the beliefs and the false beliefs and destructive coping mechanisms that we had before that we use to run our lives. And so those tend to be pretty comfortable for us. We're familiar with the old way of living. And so we tend to do that kind of on the automatic side of things.
Breaking some of those habits, those things can be really challenging.
In my counseling experience, and the way I try to do my counseling, is to help people when they identify the old way, the old habits that are destructive, I try to help them develop ways of changing their thinking and changing their coping mechanisms, their habits, and bring them into compliance with the gospel, with scripture. And so that's the second section is talking about how do we do that. And then and looking forward to pressing on, the need to press on against the old way of doing things and press into glory, into the future, into what the goal that God has set before us, into what it's going to be like in the heavenly places. And then that was the third section. The third lesson was on kind of a review of the previous two, and then helping us to realize that our citizenship is in heaven, that God is the one who changes us. We have to resist falling into the traps of the old way of living, and that there, the world and flesh and devil would try, all of which would be trying to get us to return to the old way, but that we have to focus on the future and what God has promised to us, and that it is through His power that we can do it. We cannot do it except under the power of Christ. He is the one who has the power and will exercise that power to bring all of creation under submission to His authority. And it's that very same power that created the earth. And it's the and sustains it, and it's that very same power that will give us what we need to focus on God and the gospel to overcome the old way of living and find hope in the future glory that God has established for us. So that's sort of a brief summary of 3 45-minute discussions.
First year at camp, what's your experience been like? What have you seen God doing? And
This is my first, as you said, this is my first experience here at camp. It's also my first experience in dealing purposefully with people who have disabilities, who are impacted by disabilities. And so it's all a little different to me. Frankly, I feel a little uncomfortable. Because I don't know how to, I don't know what's expected. I'm kind of careful about trying not to offend anybody. I'm discovering it's hard to offend anybody, unless you're just trying to be mean. I'm finding that I am getting past barriers that have just kind of been built into me from my long history. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was saying earlier before you started recording. It's inside I feel a little bit fuzzy in certain ways, like I'm not sure how to take things and how, if I'm doing it right or not. But I'm growing a lot while I'm here. So that's where I'm seeing most of the changes is in me.
That's cool. Is there anything else you want to say before we, as we wrap this up?
Well, I am very excited to be here. I am excited to see all the... Oh, I had an absolute blast last night at the talent show, watching everybody have such a great time and expressing themselves and enjoying each other. It was so much fun. And, you know, again, sort of my old way of thinking. I thought, boy, this is going to be boring. You know, all these people who don't have any talent up there trying to demonstrate talent. But I was just absolutely wrong about it. My old way of thinking was really broken. And I'm realizing that everybody has gifts. And when they express those gifts and the joy that comes out and the freedom that was there to express their talents and the things they enjoy doing, whatever they were, it was so much fun. I laughed and smiled and I cried. It was really great. I am really glad to be here. I'm having a great experience, and I'm hoping to come back next year.
Cool. So why don't you introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about yourself?
Hi, my name is Janet Richards, and I'm a short-term missionary this summer at the camp. And this is my 14th camp that I've attended over the years.
So what makes you keep coming back?
Well, I originally came to Johnny and Friends because back in 1971, I was a nursing student at the University of Colorado. And I took care of a girl that was paralyzed in a freak accident. Her husband was driving to the store, and it was icy on the roads in Leadville, Colorado, and the truck kind of slipped on the ice, and her head was hit the side windshield, and it paralyzed her permanently. And about the same level as Johnny Erickson Tata, who started Johnny and Friends Camps, the same level of injury and the same paralysis resulted. And over the years, I was so troubled by that that I thought, I'm going to go to a camp and kind of just see what that's all about, disability, because I felt so troubled by that one scene with my patient, because there's nothing, you know, I had never seen anything like that before. And when I got to Johnny and Friends, I was so blessed by the campers, and I learned how to love there, and I learned what it means to be close to Jesus Christ, and I met my Savior there. So I keep coming back because it's a peak experience. As a result of my experience as a nurse and my experiences at camp, I wrote a book called Crossing the River of Sorrow, One Nurse's Story, and it tells the story of some of the patients I took care of all through the years that I was a nurse in a hospital and in home health, and then being a mother, and just various experiences I had, and how I struggled with the unfairness of life and how some people seem to have adversity and others don't. I just want to make peace with those hard questions that come up over and over again in every person's life. You know, why is there suffering? Why did this happen? And so I wrote a book about it. And I also wanted to include a chapter on Johnny, because Johnny Erickson Tata and I are exactly the same age. And we, when I was 17 and she broke her neck, I also had my life changed, because I grew up in New York City. My parents moved me to Texas, which was just like
that
going.
That would be a big change.
It was like going to Iran, Shelley. And I just felt so out, like a fish out of water. And I went on to live a pretty ordinary life. I got married, I went to school, I got married, had children, and raised them. And but Johnny was the one that went on to do something so extraordinary with her life. Her life has touched millions and millions of people all over the globe, and she's done so much to help people with disabilities and their families, and to spread the gospel. And I just wanted to tell the story of how I eventually met Johnny at Mission Springs Camp in California, and what an emotional experience it was for me, too.
I bet.
I finally saw all the pain I'd been holding in for my patients for so many years, and I saw Johnny and how much she'd suffered over the 40 years that before I met her, since her paralysis, and I just realized I could turn over in bed all those years by myself. I could hug my kids. I could run upstairs to get a bar of soap. And Johnny couldn't do all those things, you know. And I felt so humbled by her, what she'd done with the suffering that had come into her life. And I also was able to cry, finally, for a lot of pain that I'd held in for many years about some of the sad things I saw as a nurse. And it was a really, it made me realize how Jesus told us that all pain will be redeemed, that we will get beauty for ashes, and that righteousness and peace will kiss. And that's our hope. And that's the hope that I hold on to.
So where can people get your book?
It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble online and Kindle and Nook, and also in paperback. And they can order it from Westbow Publishing. And I also have a website that gives some information about people who have read it and some of the sample chapter that you can go to. And that is crossingtheriversorrow.com, all one word.
Okay, cool.